I want to introduce sweet friend Lori Michael. It's going to be given her testimony relative to exercise. You're going to get to hear from three women, and I'm really excited about that.
And this is the first time that I've gotten to share with a large group of people, and so I'm just really excited about being able to share part of my story, definitely not all of it, and it's just going to be a very succinct, but it's going to be focused on the exercise part. That's definitely played a huge, it's been a huge issue in my life in the past. And so growing up, I was the girl who was involved in every sport. I was active in everything. I was either outside riding my bicycle, or I was out running around the softball field, or running around playing on the soccer field with my neighbors, or I was running around the track, I was on the court in my basketball or volleyball uniform. I was just active in whatever capacity. And so grew up just being very healthy, strong, active, and just enjoying physical activity. And it's just a huge part of my life, my family's life. I was always ate very strong, very balanced meals, and thanks to my sweet mom, who's a nurse, made sure that we did that. But I never really thought about my body, never really thought about my image, and just was never an issue for me growing up until I hit college. I was always a part of a team and always a part of something, and I was definitely the third child of four girls, and so was the happy, everything's going okay, I'm not going to let anything bother me girl. And it wasn't necessarily that anything was bothering me, it was just that I wasn't allowing things to affect me, and was supposed to be the girl that everything just kind of rolled off her chest and just, you know, rolled with the punches, and I was okay and didn't really allow my feelings and emotions to just really even really deal with that. But underneath the smiling face, there's definitely things that were going on and just things that I needed to deal with. But instead of dealing with those feelings and emotions, I decided to ignore them and turn my efforts towards attaining the perfect body. And so my obsession with exercise and just my body started when I was a junior in college. I had transferred schools and had been at another college for a couple years and transferred to a new university. And I, for the first time in my life, I did not know anybody. I wasn't known by anyone, and they didn't know me, and just felt completely not a part of anything. And so it was just, I didn't feel like I was a part of a team, and if you know me at all, I love being a part of people and part of friendships and just being a part of a team, and so that was just very, very hard for me. And also, during this time, I just started feeling the effects of some things that were going on with my family, and just really hard things that were going through. My younger sister was battling an eating disorder. She was anorexic, and so we were dealing with that, and my sisters are very dear and close to me, and so that was something that affected our family a lot. And also, my dad was going through a severe depression, and he went through that for about 3 years, and so was starting to deal with the effects of that in my own life. Since I had been active as a child and through high school, it was very natural for me to kind of just pour my efforts and my energy into running more, into just hitting the gym and being there for hours on hours. And instead of facing hard to deal with feelings and things going on, I jumped into working out. I began running a lot and working out whenever possible. I would go to class all day long and remember having class. There's one semester I had class from 8 in the morning until 8 at night, had like 30 minutes in there for lunch, and that was it. And then I'd go to the gym and I'd be there for about 3 hours, and then I would maybe study for, you know, an hour and a half, and then I'd go to bed. So it definitely was more focused on the gym than I was on classes or studying. I began to read every magazine dealing with fitness and nutrition. I became an expert in the newest and latest trends with exercise and food. My goal was to have a six-pack. My goal was to have to turn my short legs into long, lean legs, and that goal morphed into trying to be the fittest and the tiniest and the smallest and the, you can fill in the blank. I want it to be the most at something. I became very frustrated with that, obviously. Each and every day, I was just frustrated, and I'd wake up because I wasn't able to attain my goal, or I wasn't able to reach that goal or attain that ideal body, no matter what it was. There's always one more girl who was more toned than I was, or a girl that was faster than I was, and just started a cycle of comparing myself to those girls, and not to mention that my legs never really got any longer than what they are now. But and it's also, it's kind of funny to think about it now, just think about how much effort I put into changing my body and realizing that I spent so many hours and time doing that. But really, looking back from now, even when I was in high school, my body has not changed hardly at all. And so it just, I spent so much effort in that without any results from that. At the time, I honestly did not think that it was a problem at all. I didn't think that anything was wrong. Physical activity was good. It's something that made me feel good. It was a part of my life and always had been. And so working out made me feel better. I would always get a rush of endorphins. And as you all know, physical activity is healthy and we all need it. And it's good for our bodies. But I was very unhealthy with it and my thoughts towards it. I was running away from things, trying to hide and not deal with them. And I grew up in a Christian family and was a believer since I was a little girl. And so I had scripture memorized, but it just wasn't a part of my life. And scripture really doesn't speak a lot about exercise specifically. And so I just didn't know what to do. But I also know that worshiping, we're told to worship only one God, and that's God himself. And I was worshiping exercise and also worshiping the just obtaining that perfect body, which never going to get that perfect body. But we're also told to only have one master, and that's God alone, Christ alone. And exercise was my master, and it wasn't my Lord who was my master. We're also told that we are promised abundant life through Christ. And I know from experience that abundant life is not found in spending 3 hours at the gym. You're not going to find abundant life there at all. But running from feelings and not dealing with the hard things going on that life produces is a life of bondage and definitely not a life of freedom. I was enslaved to working out, to obtaining my ideal body. And honestly, I was miserable. I was lonely. I was just numb to things also. I was sad and just wasn't the person that the Lord has created me to be. My personality kind of was stifled through all of this too. And I'll be honest and tell you right now that it's a mentality that I can easily slip back into if I don't watch it, if I don't. And continually just checking myself and continually checking my motives, continually checking my feelings and having my dear, dear friends pour into me and to check me too and to ask me the hard questions and hold me accountable on these things. It took a lot, many years. It took probably about 3 years for me to fully just kind of deal with this and to just realize my struggle with just exercise and how that was just really my obsession. But I can honestly say today that I do have freedom in that, and that there has been just through the time and setting up specific boundaries and talking through it with people and recognizing my thoughts, recognizing my feelings, and starting to deal with that emotion side of it has just really caused me to come out of that and to be able to now I can run and actually enjoy it and not run with the idea of I'm trying to run away from something, but actually to run just because I like it. I'm not a slave to it anymore. If I don't run or work out one day, it's okay. Or like this week, if I haven't run or worked out several days this week, it's okay. And that's fine. And I have to be okay with that. But it definitely took an honest look at myself, continual retraining of my mind, of my thinking, and a reliance to believe the truth of what God tells us in his word, and not to believe the lies of what culture tells us. But it definitely is. It's a retraining of your mind. It's rethinking. We can't listen to what the world's saying, what magazines are telling us. It's what God's truth is telling us. It is who we are.
So appreciate her sharing. And just, you know, exercise. I think the hardest thing about exercise is that you can get away with destructive behavior because it looks healthy. In the name of health, we can kind of go our own way. And just like we talked about with the eating and body image stuff or the eating disorders and not dealing with your feelings, running is great, and we're going to talk about some of the benefits of running, but it is not to be used to run away from things, to run away from things. And that's the thing. Bottom line, God knows your heart, and He does care about your motivations, but only He knows. Only you know. And so it's not about, you know, you can't really, I mean, exercise, it's a great one. It is hard to look at somebody if you're in their close circle of friends. I can remember being in accountability with these three girls and thinking, I wonder if they're going to ask me how much I ran this weekend. I wonder if they're going to ask me, I wonder if they're going to get on to me for running around the lake twice. You know, and I used exercise to compensate for what I've eaten or so that I could eat more. But it's hard because I thought, it looks healthy. And you know what? Frankly, in our society, in our culture, it's admirable. You can run a marathon? You know, all that stuff. It's not like weighing 80 pounds, skin and bones, or being bulimic and your teeth are rotting out and your hair and your cheeks are swollen. You look at those things and you're like, ooh, but exercise? It's a little bit different category. And so I think we have to check the motivations of our heart on that. We're going to talk about it in terms of a biblical perspective, the benefits of it, and boundaries on it. Okay, so how to do it and how not to do it. And just a biblical perspective on it is that the Bible talks very little about exercise. It doesn't say a lot. But if you look at sort of back in their culture and their day, I mean, I don't think they set out to go to the gym, you know? Because they were walking everywhere. They did manual labor. That was survival. It was a different culture. But, you know, it's different now. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that he buffets his body and makes it a slave to himself. And I think that the idea there is that I don't want to be a slave to anything but Christ. I don't want to be a slave to boys, to food, to exercise, to body, to anything but the Lord. Paul says, I buffet my body and make it my slave. Not being a slave to it. Not being a slave to food. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for physical training, this is one of the verses that I know it talks about, for physical training is of some value. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Physical training has some value. There's no question. We're not arguing that. In fact, I'm going to be a big proponent of it here in a second. But godliness has value not only for this life, but the life to come. Physical training does not have value for the life to come, to my knowledge. It may create discipline and that may be able to carry out to other areas of our life and things like that. But godliness has value for this life and the life to come. So I want to talk about the benefits. This is not about exercise. Is good for you. And we're sort of a sedentary culture, and so we do have to be intentional about it. Back then, they didn't have to be intentional. We do have to be intentional about exercise. And I want to sort of switch from using exercise to using your body. It's not about exercise. It's about using the body that God gave you. Your body's like a machine. It's amazing. I mean, if you take a biology class, I heard Tom Nelson say one of the best classes for him was biology because you look inside the human body and it runs like nothing else you've ever seen. The DNA, the arteries, the way your eyes work, the way your digestive system works, everything about it is amazing. And it is intended to be used. It can do a lot of things. That's why God made it the way He did. So some of the benefits are that exercise is, or using your body, see, I'm caught up in it, using your body is a natural metabolizer. It does get your metabolism going. Okay? It's a natural metabolizer. Exercise is also a natural antidepressant. It releases endorphins in your brain that is, feels good. You can get sort of addicted to that, to the feeling that you get when you exercise. So it releases endorphins. And I say that because I think it's important that a lot of times I'm for medication in different uses just to help someone who's depressed get to a place where they can deal with what's going on underneath. But I would say prior to medication that using the things that have been laid out before you already is probably a priority. You know, trying to exercise, trying to use the natural things that God has given you in order. I mean, it does help you. It does bring up your mood by releasing the endorphins that it releases. So it is a natural antidepressant. It is good for your digestion. If you're a runner, you know that. And if you run long distances, you know that. There'll be some laughing here in a minute from a few long-distance runners. Because it does. It's a natural digester. And you have to plan for it. So, it is also good for your bones. And my favorite is that it's a healthy outlet for stress. And there is a lot of stress in our culture. The busyness and all that we do in our lives. It is a natural and a good outlet. But not, like Lori's testimony, not to run from what's going on in your heart and in your life. It can be a natural complement to help you, but not to run from what's going on in your life. The last section is going to be all about running from it, the things that we run from. And my phrase that I use so much is, it's not about food. It's never about food. It's about what's going on in your heart that's causing you to turn to or not turn to in a way that's destructive. Same with exercise. Exercise is great. It is good for your body. So we can agree that God designed our bodies to be used. The question is, how should we use it in a way that gives glory to God? How do we use our bodies in a way that gives glory to God? And I think that one of the questions is does it give glory to Him to be obsessed with it? To work your day around it, to make it the focal point of everything you do. Does that give Him glory? Anyone? No. You know why? It doesn't give Him glory to be obsessed about anything but Him. We have priorities and things we focus on. But to have anything be an idol in our life is not good. So, and the way, I think some of the ways you can tell is, can you have a good day without it? Can you get up in the morning and not get your run in, and not know that you're not going to get it in, and still have a day that you're not, your mood isn't completely disrupted because I didn't get to exercise today. I feel bad about myself. I'm worthless. I'm lazy. I'm this and this and this. Beating yourself up all day long. Shame, shame, shame. Can you have a good day without it? If you can't, might need to check your heart. Might need to check your heart and your motivations when you're going. So, rule of thumb, can you go a day without exercising and not have it affect your mood, your joy, and your life? And then lastly, the last section on this is boundaries. How not to do it and how to do it. So how not to do it is not exercising out of guilt for what you've eaten. Not trying to compensate for having eaten. So I've eaten all this. Oh, my gosh, I've got to go home and I've got to go run. I've got to go run it off. I had this today. I mean, you know, you've heard it. You're around it. Maybe you say it. People talk about it all the time. Oh, I'm so excited. I can enjoy this because this morning I went running or I went to the gym. I earned it. No, that's not how it works. That is not how it works. We're going to talk a little bit in the next section about what's called intuitive eating. Exercise is not for weight management. It is not for weight management. It is not to burn off. Yes, it burns calories, as does gardening and walking to your car and all those things. But your body is made in such a way that if you don't exercise, you'll be less hungry. And so if you're eating according to hunger and fullness, your body will still stay the same. See, God is amazing in the way He's created us. So you do not have to be a slave to exercise. How not to do it? Out of guilt, to compensate, to balance out. You do not have to run 9 miles around the lake twice on the weekend. That's stupid. And I've done it many times. Not in recent future, in the past. And so a friend of mine said this one time, and it really stuck with me because it's so true. Because when I think about my most recent history, I guess, maybe like 6 years ago, I started really experiencing freedom maybe four years ago, something like that. But in those 6 years ago, so those 2 years before, there was a lot of chaos. There was a lot of, I looked okay. You wouldn't know there was anything going on the outside. But on the inside, I was doing that. I was, I can't remember, I was house sitting one weekend, and I was like, I ate all their ice cream in the refrigerator or freezer, and I was like, well, maybe I'll just go run before church again tomorrow around the lake. And it wasn't until later that a friend of mine who got out of the eating disorder clinic at Presbyterian said to me, obedience yields peace. Disobedience yields chaos. And I will never forget that, because that is true. When I listen to hunger and fullness and I mind my body, I don't have to go run around the lake twice. I don't have to go run 18 miles. When I don't listen and I use food to deal with my emotions and cover them up instead of dealing with what's really going on, it creates a chaos. I've done this, now I've got to go do this. And I order my life around it. Obedience breeds peace, disobedience breeds chaos. Great principle. You reap what you sow. And I want us to be very biblically centered. Scripture doesn't give a lot of how-tos on how do you exercise. But it gives a lot of other principles. And on this one specifically, I just want to talk about balance. You should use your body. If you're not using it at all, you should do something. It doesn't have to be, you know, running. It can be walking. It can be gardening. It can be anything. But how to do it is to do it so that it doesn't consume any more thoughts and energy than the time spent doing it. That's my rule of thumb. Cynthia, this is not from the Word. But that helps with, I don't want it to be an idol. An idol is something that my mind is consumed with. So how do I do it in a way that I only spend the time thinking about it the time I'm doing it? Okay? So that's sort of my rule of thumb. And the way for me that has worked well is to have it scheduled. To have it scheduled, whatever, 3 to 5 days, or whatever it is that works for you. There's no right or wrong. If you're not doing any, you should do some. If you're doing 7 to 10 times a week, you're doing too much, it's likely. So I'm not trying to give numbers, because I know that's what a lot of people want. But I want to talk about the ends of the spectrum are probably not good. But only you know. Only you know the motivations of your heart. So for me, what I've done is set up a schedule and have a running buddy that I run with or I go to the gym with a couple of days a week. And I do that. And if I don't do it, I don't usually wind up trying to work my day around it in the afternoon. If I don't do it in the morning, and that's not right or wrong to do it in the morning or evening. But for me, if I didn't do it in the morning and I was always trying to think about how to work it in, it becomes this thing that's going on in the back of my mind. How am I going to do that? So for me, I was like, well, I'm going to do it these days with this person at this time so I don't have to think about it. That's my goal. I love sports. I love athletics. I love soccer. I love tennis. I don't love running really, but I like taking my dog for a run. So I love that stuff, but how do I do it so it doesn't consume me? All those things are great and good and neutral in and of themselves. But when they become, we obsess over them, they become idols in our life and are not good. Okay? So neither extreme is good. Zero is probably not good. You probably need to start moving your body. And again, we're not talking about somebody that's got health issues. I want you to know if you have health issues, you do need to check with your doctor. I need to make that disclaimer. So we're just talking about the normal average person, okay? So if you're not using your body at all, it's probably be good for you to get outside and go for a walk. Garden. You can do a lot of different things. It doesn't have to look a certain way. And then, again, the other extreme is you need to check your heart on that. So for some, it might be good to take a break, and for others, it might be good to start doing something. And the deal is that we can all rationalize, justify, and minimize. Rationalize our sin, justify why we do what we do, and minimize all that other stuff. But only you know your heart. You and the Lord. I think with exercise, I think you do have to just sort of say, okay, Lord, you show me. You know. I know what my heart is. And I want to be in line with you. And you want to be in line with his principles and his will and ways, because that's where life is. Life is found in that and in nothing else.